say, today's topic is just to understand, not really so much about halacha shares we normally do give, but just to understand for a few minutes, what is Elul? What is Elul? You know, you walk around, you hear Elul, you hear Elul, you hear Elul, you hear all sorts of things. What is Elul? There was a maisa quite a few years ago with a very, 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 very wealthy fellow. Extremely wealthy. Absolutely, tremendously wealthy. And this guy was like one of the biggest businessmen that there was in his country. He was the most sought after person, tremendous person. And he had a neighbor that was tremendously poor. And this neighbor used to look at him and look out the window and watch the limousines coming in and him coming out with a tuxedo, coming out with a suit and coming out with all sorts of people and the servants coming in with food and deliveries and important people coming to meet him and all sorts of unbelievable events that were going on. And every single day he would look out the window and he would just like admire him, like, wow, this is absolutely amazing. What an amazing life. And eventually the rich man caught hold of this. He said, you know, what are you doing? Every single day, I see you looking out the window. What are you doing? So he said, I'll tell you, very honestly, I'm admiring you. I think you have the most unbelievable life in the entire world. So he says, you know what? I want to offer you an opportunity of a lifetime. The opportunity of a lifetime is, I'll make a swap with you for one day. For 24 hours, you can become me. That's what he said. He says, I'm going away to Japan for one day. I need to make a tremendous business meeting. And I have to meet people in Japan. I'll be there 24 hours and I'll be straight back. During that time, I'll let you take over the business. I'll let you take over everything. You can live life like I live life. And the guy was like, wow, how do you know? That's unbelievable. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. He told him the date and he went by. The date came. The poor man knocks on the door. The rich man opens the door. He says, yes, what would you like? And he said, well, don't you remember we had a deal? You offered to give me your life for 24 hours. He said, oh, you're right. I happen to be going to Japan tonight. But he said, you can't look like that. With his, you know, jacket half off and just, you know, his tie. He didn't even have a tie. And his hat was all dusty and disgusting. He said, you can't live with me like that. Do me a favor. Go up to my room. Choose yourself a nice suit, a nice shirt, beautiful tie, a nice new hat, new shoes, and look the part. Said, I'll be back in 24 hours. Unbelievable. He walks into the house. He takes a tour of this house. He said, this is a house, a dream house. 24 bathrooms, right? There's no such thing as a door, right? Have you finished yet? Every bathroom has its own iPad. It's unbelievable. This is like a dream house, yeah? What do you think? He gets in there. They say to him, sir, there's a meeting from a couple of people from China and they've come to discuss the latest business deal that you're going to make. He says, okay, fine, sure, no problem. He goes to the meeting. He hasn't got a clue what they're saying. They're talking English, but it sounds like they're talking Chinese. This is the commercials and the commissions and the percentage wise and the interest rates and VAT. The guy's never heard these words in his life. It's like a Chinese cookbook, the recipe for one donsu. He doesn't know what's going on, Bakhwal. And they're laughing at him, thinking, wouldn't you crazy? Like, this is the businessman that we've come to meet. Like, hello? What's going on over here? End of meeting, laughing stock. And they say to him, sir, you're going now to become the guest speaker at a very big dinner. And he says, big dinner, guest speaker, what am I going to say? What do you mean? This is the opportunity you've been waiting for. You are the guest speaker at the dinner. And he goes to the dinner, and they put him straight up onto the top table, and he goes up there, and looks at these thousands of people looking at him, and he's thinking, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to say? And everybody's looking at him like, you know, there's some laughing, and I think, this is the guy, this is the businessman. He makes a total fool of himself. And for his last stop for the night, he goes to one of the most expensive French restaurants that you can ever go to. One of the most expensive ones. He gets there. He opens up the menu. He can't read a single word. He doesn't understand any of this language. He orders something from the waiter. The waiter says to him, yeah, sir, that's the name of the restaurant. Can you order something else? But it totally makes a fool of himself. He comes back at the end of the day and he's furious. Well, what the day is this? The guy comes back. The rich guy comes back and says, no, how was your day? It was the most disastrous day I've ever had in my life. That was absolutely horrible. How do you live such a life? It's disgusting. They made fun of me. I went to the restaurant. I didn't understand. They were talking about these meetings. And I was like, how do you live? It's horrible. And the guy said to me, you're crazy. Because if you knew that you are going to be take over the big businessman for one day for 24 hours, don't you think you should have done a bit of homework before? Don't you think you should have, like, maybe done a little bit of investigations of what type of life it means, and what the words you have to say, and what type of life I lead, and where I'm going, what I'm doing? If you would have prepared, then you would come prepared. You would have had a great day. You would have enjoyed yourself. Rabbosai, you know what Elul is? Elul is a preparation for Yom Noroi. And if a person comes prepared, and he comes properly equipped with that what he needs, then it will have a great time. It'll have a great day. He'll be successful. But if a person walks into Rosh Hashanah, you can imagine it right now, it happens every year. You walk into Rosh Hashanah, he's got his new suit, his nice tie, he's got his new hat, his new shoes, and he walks in there and says, "Come on, God, give me another year." He looks at you like, "Hello, did you prepare? Did you give any thought to what this means? Did you give any thought to what it means to stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and beg literally, when we explain what this means, for your life, for everything that goes on in your life, for every single thing that in detail of your life, whether it be your family, whether it be Shidduchim, whether it be money, whether it be health, whether it be everything, is decided on Rosh Hashanah. And El is given as a preparation for a person in order to be able to come equipped to the Yom Neroyim, to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in the correct way, in the correct fashion. So if we prepare, then we'll become much better. So we're going to just give today, Be'ez Hashem, just a few. Again, it's not so much of halacha shit today. Normally we do go into more halachas. Today I just wanted to start a little bit with Elul, just so we should understand at least what we're doing over here, and then we'll discuss maybe a little bit more closer towards Rosh Hashanah. There's a minig brought down in Shulchan Aruch, everybody knows, and this is more taken on by the Sfaradim, is to get up early morning the entire Elul. Every single day of Elul, you get up early and you say, Slichas. Says the Ramah, we don't do that. Our minig is to wait until the week before, we'll explain, a few days before, whatever it may be, each year is different, and we get up the Slichas. So our minig is we don't say Slichas the entire Elul, but we do say Slichas a few days before Rosh Hashanah. We'll speak about Slichas nearer to the time. Okay. Another minig of Elul. Also, again, these minhagim are very interesting, because if we understand what they are, then they mean so much more to us. For example, minig number one. The minig the Ramah says is to blow the shofar every single day of Elul. Right? That's what we do. Rosh Chodesh Elul, we start taking the shofar after Shachris, and someone does a tekiya v'chulu. Right? Why do we do this? Does anybody know why we blow the shofar during Elul? It's like a preparation. It's like, you know, to get you used to it. So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, you sort of like, you can take all the, you know, hundreds and hundreds of things that go on over there. What's the reason why we blow the shofar? Right side. Anybody? Says, oh yes, Morty, let's go. Ooh, you're mixing this up with Tosis and Rosh Hashanah, that has Bobo Manalev, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Says the Torah, B'Shem Pirkei the Rebbe Lezer. You know the reason why we build the Shofar during Elul? Is because when now is the time when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to get the Luchos for the second time. And he went up for how many days? 40 days. And every single day that he was up in Har Sinai, they blew the shofar. Why? To tell the Olam, he's still in Shamayim, he's still in Har Sinai, don't make the same mistake as you made before. Don't mix up and get confused and then come to the terrible aveira that he did of the Egel Hazor. And therefore that's the reason why we blew the shofar. Now it's interesting, what would be the halacha? Right, again, it's not negating anybody in this yeshiva, obviously, but there are, sometimes it happens to people in different yeshivas. They don't wake up for Shachris, and you wake up late, and you have to daven in your room, right? Again, like I'm saying, it's not negating anybody here, you guys probably don't even know what I'm talking about, but there is such a concept of people that do such a thing, and they daven in their room. Do you have to build a shofar after you, what's that? Oh gosh, you're labeling, What, do you have to build a shofar in your room when you daven by yourself? Most Muslim hold no. It's a chayv in the tzibur. When the tzibur are getting together, then you blow the shofar. Now, we have to explain, by the way, and we'll explain this maybe more before Rosh Hashanah, what is the shofar and what does it do for us? We're going to see, it's a minchas chinuch, it's a toisvus, many marmakoymus, that the shofar is the biggest and best medicine anyone can ever take in this world. This will explain Be'ez Hashem right before Rosh Hashanah. Again, like I said, this is Allah Hashem mainly. Just right now, we're just going to go through a few in Yonim. So again, meaning number one, Tkiya Shofar. Meaning number two, what else do we do different on Elul than everything else? The David Hashem, Oiri V'Yishi. What's the reason why we do this? Says Chazal, Oiri is Rosh Hashanah, and Yishi is Yom Kippur. Chazal with Darshaning, that's why we say it.
the person can bring down. If a person wants a segula, if a person wants a segula, right? Everybody loves segulas. You go tell people that if you put this red thing around your arm, right? Then you, I don't know what they say. You're going to get married. And have, I don't know what they're going to say when you do this. Do this thing like, oh, walk seven times around the keva. We'll go to this one. Go to that one. Everyone loves segulas. When you lose lots of water for put it as a diamond, get rich. Tons of segulas, right? Everybody loves segulas. Best segulas. Says the poskim, you say l'dovid Hashem over ishi twice a day, morning and night. It's a massive segula to be zoicha b'din. Anybody that wants to be zoicha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to a wonderful year and a sweet year, that's the way to do it. Says the poskim, it's a wonderful segula to say l'dovid Hashem over ishi twice a day. Let's continue. You know, we say el, right? For us, it doesn't mean very much, right? And of course, myself included. But we should know one thing: what it used to be. You know, El used to be something that in Rosh Chodesh benching, which was the Shabbos before El, right? The Shabbos that we just had. When they used to announce Rosh Chodesh El, people would faint in the shul. Pasha people would just faint. From the word El that they had, the Pasha fainted. The Pasha couldn't cope. Revolver brings down the Moed Galaitza. There was a place in Europe. A place in Europe, and there were two boys fighting on the streets. And these two boys weren't even wearing a yarmulke. They were bringing a couple. Two boys fighting, not even covering their heads. Fighting on the streets. All of a sudden, the window opens from one of the apartments above. And an old woman shouts up, "Hello!" And they stop. And they part their ways. And these were people not even wearing yarmulkes. These were boys not even wearing kapos. And El means something so much to them that it was thick, it was in the air. When you walked around, you could see El, you could eat El, you could drink El, you slept El. El was everything. It was this moment that a person has to realize that the Rabboni Shalom is so close to us. You have to realize what we can accomplish on this month now. In the next few weeks, you will not be able to accomplish an entire year. There's a special Siyata Dishmaya. How many times I've speak to Bochum and they tell me, you know, I wish this would be better and I wish I'd be able to have this and this, all sorts of things. They don't realize that El is the opportunity. That these weeks are absolutely thick with the Siyata Dishmaya. The Rabboni Shel Olam comes so close to us. And all he wants is for you to come close to him. He just wants you to come closer to say, Rabboni Shel Olam, I want to do better. I want to learn. I want to have a geshmak in learning. I want to understand the Gemara. I want to daven better, whatever it may be, each for their own. And if a person would do one tiny bit of trying, then the Rabboni Shel Olam comes to him in a tremendous way. A couple of other minhagim that we have in El is as follows. There are many people when they write a letter or an email or anything of the sort, they always write in there, "Chasim Chasim Atova, you should have a good year," because this is the time that we give blessings to Klal Yisrael. Also, this is a zman that people give tzedakah. Right? We know tzedakah is tatzel mimavis. If a person wants to save himself from death, he gives tzedakah. So this is the time a person wants to get tremendous zchuyos, tremendous unbelievable mitzvahs. If he would give tzedakah, he would get tremendous mitzvahs. So it's also a wonderful minig that many people have. Many people have a minig not to speak rather things that they shouldn't be speaking. They're more careful about what they do. They're more careful about what they say. They're more careful what they look at. Because again, this is a time right before Rosh Hashanah where we're going to be judged. It's kedai for a person to try and take on all extra chumras to try and do that. I want to just say a wonderful story which is brought down from the Hasidim. Amazing story as follows of this. There was a very important person that had in his cellar a tremendous wine stock, a huge stock of wine. He had an unbelievable stock of the finest wines that there were. And at any time an important person would come to his house, he would send the butler down to the basement, and the butler would pick a beautiful, beautiful bottle of wine, and he'd bring it up to the important person. One time, an important person came to the house, and he sent the butler, he said, "Butler, do me a favor, go down and get me a beautiful bottle of wine. This is an important person, I need to impress him, get me a nice bottle of wine." The butler goes down, and the balabas, the manager, is waiting, and he's waiting, and he's waiting. And he's looking and he's thinking, how long is it taking him to get a bottle of wine? You know, maybe he's drunk already by now. Maybe he's finishing up all the wine that I have and he's totally drunk by now. So eventually he says, enough's enough. I'm going down to see what's going on with this butler. He goes down to the basement. He's going down to the basement. And all of a sudden, his feet are wet. But it's funny, his feet start getting wet. He looks on the floor, He sees there's wine all over the floor. The boy said, this is years and years of collecting wine. This is years and years of expensive posh wine that he serves for his finest guests. And it's all over the floor. He's about to kill this butler. He's about to take him and strangle him alive. What's he done to my wine? He says, where is he? Where is he? And he starts looking around. Where's this butler? And he goes to that part of the cellar. He can't find him. And he goes to that part of the cellar. He can't find him. I can't find him anywhere in the cellar. So he goes back up the other staircase on the other side of the cellar. And he walks all around the house. Where is he? All of a sudden, he walks in to the living room. And there it is. Unbelievable. On the couch there is this butler. Sitting on the chair. He's got his chair there. Sitting on the couch. He's got his feet up. He's drinking a pina colada. And the boss looks at him and he says, what are you doing? And he looks at him, holds his pina colada in one hand and his cigar in the other hand, and he says, hi boss, can I have a raise? The guy killed him! But boy, what am I telling you? We do exactly the same thing! The whole year, if I say speak for myself, the whole year we're busy doing what? Spilling wine, doing aveiros. That's what we do all year. That's what we do. Comes Rosh Hashanah, right? And everything's all over the place. And we look up and we say, come on, God, give me another chance. Give me a raise. Give me a good line. Give me a good shidduch. Give me health. Give me money. Give me everything. Do you deserve it? Did anybody think for 1 minute, do we do anything to deserve that? We come to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the time that a person can ask for any single thing that he wants. And it will be written, it will be sealed, that's what he's getting. And a person doesn't realize what Rosh Hashanah can affect the years of his life. We think every Rosh Hashanah is 1 year. Rosh Hashanah can affect the rest of a person's life, and you should know even more than that. Everybody knows the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that the Rosh Hashanah Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim are open. What does that mean, Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim? Why are the Sifrei Mesim open? Why are we opening up the dead people's books? They're dead. They're gone a long time ago. You know what the answer is? What's that? Better than that. Good answer, but better than that. Because a person doesn't realize what he does on this world affects not only while he's alive, but affects generations and generations of people for a good way and a bad way. It could be, I'll give you an example. It could be there'll be a bachur in yeshiva, and he comes to the time of night seder, and his roommate and him are sitting in his room, and he says, you know what? I'm going to night seder. And his roommate says, oh, well, if you're going to night seder, I guess I'm also going to go to night seder. So he persuaded, he got somebody else to go to night seder to learn Torah for an hour. You know what that means? You know what the schar and reward for that is? Of getting somebody else, because you set a good example, you sat and davened for a bit, you sat and learned for a bit during Seder, wherever it may be. You know what that means? You sat quietly during Shair. You know what that means? You let other people do good. That means they open up the Sifrei Mesim even when you're not here and they're giving you reward. Rabbosai, and I'm just going to finish because we're going to start this little bit of halacha shir just towards the end, because like I said, it's meant to be halacha shir. The etzem. El is given as a zman that people can work on themselves, that people can prepare for a Rosh Hashanah, that people can prepare for Yom Kippur. It's a preparation. If we come prepared and if we do all the right things, then when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we'll know exactly what we need to do and we'll become prepared at the same time. Whereas if we just sort of wait and wake up on Rosh Hashanah morning and say, oh my gosh, I have like a 5 hour davening now. Like, how am I going to make it through the day? Like, when's it over? When are they serving lunch? Right? That's not geschmack. That's not geschmack. It's good to know where we're holding and what we're doing. So Rabbosai, that's what I wanted to explain, just as a sort of hakdama of what Elul is and how we can gain from it.